Father, grant tonight that our hearts will be open, that the Holy Spirit might seize the reins of our lives for you. Bless this precious people in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to read one of the most marvelous portions of Scripture or any other literature that you could ever read. From the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 32 through to the end of the chapter. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now you think you've got troubles. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There are many halls of fame. I personally have been in several of them. These halls that are dedicated to the champions of various fields of endeavor. I've been at Lexington, Plymouth Rock, Valley Forge, the Smithsonian Institute, the Alamo, the Halls of Fame for the Cowboys, various places where they show their champions. But of all of them, not a one of them can begin to compare with this one that we're looking into tonight. Here is one of the most massive and yet exquisite settings that we have. Here are the heroes and the heroines of faith. And here they're seen as they move about this great hall, if you will. And as you move, you read of the monumental eulogies which record the valiant doings of these champions of faith. Here we read about Abel. We read about Enoch. We read about Abraham, about Sarah, Isaiah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and many of the others, as Paul writes here, time would fail us to tell of them. So these are not isolated cases and just a very few cases, but men and women of like passions as we that sit right here tonight. They are the men and the women that God Himself is willing to set up in the eternal halls of fame and say, look them over. These are the champions. These are the best. This is the cream of everything. This is my masterpiece. This is what I could do. And so all of them are noble members of a royal family whose lives and battles were lived and fought on varied fields. Many centuries cover these lives, and many generations passed over the earth during the time that they lived. And while the natural man, if he were writing history, he wouldn't mention these names or places at all. But you see, the Bible, in its writings, takes note only of these as really being famous. Goliath isn't here. Herod isn't here. Rich men, powerful men, mighty men, men who were great warriors, men who were great rulers. Pharaoh isn't here. Nebuchadnezzar isn't here. None of these men that the world called great and looked upon as great are found here, and they will not be found in the ages of the eternities. And yet here we have these. And each one of these had his own particular cause. Yet he carried one banner. He sought the honors of one Lord in his life. And because of this, these various ones covered themselves with distinction. And tonight, they share an eternal glory while they wait for those of this age to be fully made perfect. Remember, we read 11:40, they without us should not be made perfect. Now you think we're looking for something to come up there in heaven tonight. They're just kind of bending over the banisters, looking down and saying, I wish those folk would hurry up and get here. You see, this is the way it is. You see, this age too must produce its saints of fame. And you think of our American boys, the men, the fathers, the brothers, and such. They've fought in many wars, most of them with a conviction of fighting for that which was right. And they fought with a courage and an endurance. And I have thought of old Lexington, Valley Forge, many of the places. You think of the Alamo. Oh, the self-forgetfulness of those men and those women and the self-sacrifice they were willing to die to do something for those that they believed in and loved. And yet when I turn my eyes to the Lord's army this evening, I have to wonder, are we distinguished by the same valor as was that people back there? And the Alamo, think of it. They were fighting for a cause. They were willing to give their lives. I remember how history tells us
that it was many of them could have ridden on out and forgot about the place. But they would rather stay there for the honor and for the country. A dead honor. Something we can hang our plaques up to them. We can put their names on a wall. We can put their names in a brass frame, a silver frame, a gold frame. It won't do them one iota of good. And yet, I think of them. And I think of us. Are we distinguished by the same kind of valor? Does the world out there look on us? You tasted it a little bit, honey. Well, just leave. Well, I'm willing to leave. If I have to sit around and have fellowship on your basis, I'm willing to leave. If I have to go your way, I'm willing to leave. I love you. I don't want to leave. I don't want to lose your fellowship. I don't want to lose the happiness that I have. But if I have to compromise the gospel, then I go. The Church of Jesus Christ tonight is not marked by this. The same glorious abandon that belonged to the Minutemen, the same glorious abandon that belonged to those at the Alamo, the same glorious abandon that was that little ragtag outfit in Old Valley Forge, I say, we don't come close to it, and yet we have everything to have such a thing in our own lives. The same ready and even joyful sacrifice that they many, many times had. You see, this age has to produce its saints of fame. Again, I remind you, they wait for us. They can't be made perfect without us. They can't come into their own without us. No wonder the devil hates anyone that wants to go with the truth. No wonder the devil will do everything he can to get you to settle for less than the truth in your life. While it is easy to sing, "Were the whole realm of nature mine," and to jubilantly proclaim that, then would we be happy to sacrifice it. Oh, how many times I've heard saints say, "If I just had his money, if I just had her money, if I just had their talent." Well, now, you know, there was a poor widow woman. She could have sat and held those three mites and said, "If I just had what one of those rich men have, what I would do." But she said, "I have three mites. That's all I have. But I'm going to worship him anyway." And the Lord said she gave more than all those rich people. You think about it a little bit. Oh, what we would do if we could. If I could just sing like so-and-so. If I just had the talent of so-and-so. If I could just preach like so-and-so. Dear hearts, listen. Oh, I was just a little old poor form boy with nothing and nobody. I sat in my office yesterday and talked to a preacher, and I told him about how we did things. He said, "Don't you even let people know your needs?" I said, "No, I let my Father know my needs. I'm here to live by faith." You are too. You may never find it out. You may think to scheme and to beg and to pressure and to put on a show and a blow. We'll get the job done, but you see, one day it's going to be measured by God's standards. Will God say, by faith, Hill went out, not knowing where he went. I believe he will, because I know that's the way it was. By faith, Hill built the building. Did you do it by faith too? Oh, he wants someone to believe him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, not he's going to be, not he used to be, but he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I stand before you and believe with all of my heart he can do anything for you or for me that he sees fit to do. And if he don't want to do it, I don't want any part of it. I'm like Moses a long time ago. He said, Lord, you know how badly we want to go up there. You know how much we want the land of Canaan. You know how we've desired to go to there. But Lord, if you go not with us, carry us not up thither. We don't want anything if you're not in it. But so, the whole realm of nature isn't mine or yours. And thus, you see, our responsibility begins and ends with what is mine. What are my talents? What are my possessions? Are they his? See, you better think about it a little bit. So I ask, is there anything of blood in our intercessions? I deeply, deeply appreciate the friendliness of this place and the way you love one another and the way you can visit with one another. But I'm going to tell you the truth. If you'd come on a Sunday night and come down here and gather around this altar, you see, we're here to talk to him. If anyone gets saved, he's got to do it. If anyone gets healed, he's got to do it. If anyone gets blessed, he's got to do it. You know how to bring his presence into this place in a manifested, real way? Is get in his presence. That's right. Make this place a place where he's at home. It's pretty hard to sit and visit and watch football games and things and then come over and suddenly turn off a button and turn on another program. See, you can do that on a television or a radio, but you can't do it with God. You see, it don't turn on quite like that. And so, precious hearts, I ask, is there any blood in our intercession, in our giving, or our service? Oh, well, Brother Hill, when I get the home paid for and so on and so on and so on, someday I'm going to support the work. Someday. Well, I'm going to tell you, some folk are going to be sitting up there in the Hall of Fame while you're talking about someday. Is that right? They used to tell me on the farm, when them old pigs settled down and stopped squealing, they were really eating.
I didn't mean to call you a pig. You know, you could at least say amen.
But you see, Hebrews 12:1 calls these a great cloud of witnesses. Not just observers or lookers on, but witnesses, men and women that have a story. And thus, they have wonderful things to tell you and I. They can tell us about the way. They can tell us about the Lord of the way. They can tell us about the provision that He made for them in the way, and that He will make for you and I in the way. They tell us how things looked in the beginning of their way, and how it looked at the end of the way, and how His presence with them went day by day and transformed the desert into a place where they could eat and drink and be sheltered. The place where they could not go, they did go. The place where they could not survive, they did survive. The place where they could not make a way, they made a way. You see, today, we want too much of a guarantee in the natural before we do anything.
I didn't intend to say anything about this. Well, I'm not. I'm not going to take that much time. So I'll tell you another time. But you see, they were witnesses of Jesus, of His merit, of His power, of His grace, of the miracle of divine mercy in their lives all along the way. It's the same to you and me. These were not special people. They became special people. God picked them up out of the idol house. He picked them up from defeat. Some of them had anything other than a good name when He got a hold of them. Think of that harlot Rahab. Yeah, she lived over there in that city of destruction. But there were a couple of spies that came along, and she sheltered them. And when they said, well, put a red thread out your window, that's all. She testified. She hung that red thread out there. She had faith in what they said. She had faith in the fact that that red thread would work. And it did work. God said, well, I'll just write her down in the Hall of Fame. Now, she didn't do too much, did she? No more than you could do. No more than I could do. In fact, if God tells you to do something, you can do it. You'll find out with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Who told you you couldn't? Who told you you couldn't? Who told you you can't have the victory over that thing that's dogging your life? Who told you you can't be what God wants you to be? It was the devil that told you that. God told you you can. Sure. Children of Israel, they said, we can't, we can't. They stood at Kadesh Barnea and they said, we can't. God said, why, you generation, Moses, get out of my way, let me destroy them. He said, I was angry with them. They wouldn't have my land. There, I conquered the greatest enemy they had. I brought them out of that brick making. I brought them through 40 years through a wilderness. I parted a Red Sea for them. I made water gush out of a rock. I did all of those things. And then I got over there and I said, now here's the land. You won't have to build the houses. You won't have to plant the vineyards. You won't have to
dig the wells. I've got it all fixed up. I'm going to kick them tenants out.
I'm going to put you in there. And he said, you know they wouldn't have my land? He said, I was angry with them. And I said, look, Moses, just get out of my way. I'll make of you a nation. And Moses said, oh, Lord, he said, you know them people are looking on. They're going to say you couldn't do it. Well, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do then. He said, I'm going to turn them back into the wilderness. Their bones are going to bleach out there. And those little kids that they say I was going to kill, I'm going to let them have the land. And you know, almost 40 years later, when those kids, now grown to young men and young women, walked across that old Jordan at flood tide like dry land, you know, I'm sure some of them kind of paused and said, now wasn't this easy? Anything's easy when God does it. Don't you know that? God don't use his strength plus your little old puny stuff. He uses his strength. That's the reason he can't get some of you going. He can't get you reduced to the nothing you are. Yes, Paul, you're nothing. But thank God in the promises of God, you're everything. Well, you know, I get into something like this and I don't want to quit. And I just like to go on to heaven and get it over with. You see, precious hearts, here we have a book we call the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. And I'm going to tell you, it runs blood red from cover to cover. And I believe, with all of my heart, the book of Acts matches anything that you can find in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. There's nothing cheap in the book of Acts. Did you know that? There's nothing bloodless in the book of Acts. There is a people and they're not without a cross. Oh, I don't mean something around your neck or something on the lapel of your coat or you stick up there. I mean what's down in here. So here, I ask you, is that book of Acts supposed to be some remote record of an early day? Fundamentalists will tell you at least the speaking in tongues is. Is it just a dim reminiscence of a dead and a buried world? Did Jesus mean alone when he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth? Did he just mean those, that little band that stood there with him at that time? Or did he mean you and me? I think he meant you and me, don't you? I'm sure he did. And you see, these only did the will of God for their time. Someone's got to do the will of God tonight, tomorrow. Look at Stephen. His qualifications were, he had a college degree. He was graduate from the seminaries of his day. He sat at Gamaliel's feet, and he really was a wise bird. No, it said he was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. He was just a fellow that waited on tables. Just no common, ordinary guy. But oh, he was full of faith and power. You grabbed a hold of him, it was like taking hold of God. Because he was full of God. And so here, it tells how he did great wonders and miracles. And then it said certain libertines like we have today, you know, disputed with him. They saw the miracles. They They said, now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, don't you know you ought not preach doctrine? Now, listen. Listen, Stephen. You can get along with the mayor if you just do the right thing. That Sanhedrin, they're good religious men. Don't you know, Stephen, don't you know that those fellows are the religious elite? He didn't compromise. He was just like some others in front of him. Like old Peter. He said, why, you with wicked hands took and slew the Son of Glory, the God of Glory. You know what you've done? You've took your Messiah out and put him on a cross. You can't compromise with the devil, didn't you know that? You can't compromise with the world, don't you know that? Be for God or shut up. Oh, but they looked on his face. I'll tell you, when they looked at that guy's face, they saw something. And he said, well, he told them the truth. And the Bible said, they stopped their ears. We're not going to listen to him. You know, I'll tell you. A fella told another fella, he didn't tell me, he said, you know, I'll tell you. He said, that hill steps on my toes too much. Woman stood out on the front one day and she said, I'm not going back in there. I didn't know her. She said, I'm not going back in that place anymore. All he did was talk about me while I was in there. Why, I wouldn't have known her from Adam's cow. It's truth. You see, precious hearts, we've got to get with God. And so, what we read, how they ran upon him, they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And you know what he did? He kneeled down and said, lay not this sin to their charge. And I think this is one of the greatest, the most courageous things that you can ever read apart from God himself. And can you conceive that any greater courage could be than that which was Stephen's, which dares to be gentle when someone else is being brutal, which ministers in kindness to those who would minister death? Think of Paul at Lystra. The Bible says they took him out and stoned him. And then you read almost in the next verse, and Paul went back to Lystra. You know what I'd have done? I'd have said, damn dirty rats, just get, here's the dust. They'll never see me again. But you see, he had the love of God in him. A love that went to the cross. Now, let's think just a moment about ourselves. Are we on the field or are we out of it? Are we soldiers or are we spectators? Are we even less than spectators inasmuch as we might even be refusing to applaud the men and the women who are out in the contest. Huh? How much do we care for the salvation of the men and the women we meet? And then how much do I care for my brother? Listen, listen. You know, my oldest brother, with the increase of inflation and such like,
I know that he's had a difficult time. So along, I've sent him money. He told me the first check he got from me, he said, I sat down and cried. He said, I remembered the time when our father was on his deathbed and how he had our mother to bring you to him. And he laid his hands on you and said, wife, someday you'll be proud of him. Now that was my brother. I thought of the time when 16 years of age, he went out and made it for me. Now listen, if the love for your natural brother means that, how much more should it mean for your spiritual brother? You see, Brother Gies, you and I are going to be up there forever. These are the people, and many of you that I've ministered to that have gone on. You're the people that I'm going to be with forever. Now, I'll tell you, dear, I want you to have everything in this life. I'm sure not jealous of my brother. I just want you to be as rich as you can be. So I'm not going to stand up here and put my tongue in my cheek and try to flatter somebody when the truth is what you need. And the day will come, you'll say, thank God. No. I hope no one down here worships Brother Hill. If you do, you sure disappointed me. I'm doing my level best to get you ready to worship him. Now, our sons and our husbands have given their blood for the defense of our country and the sacred cause of liberty and for the honor of our promise. But then, what are we ready to give for the glory of our Savior and for the extension, the promotion, the furtherance of the only thing in all the world that can really do you any good? One day you're going to be there exactly with what you've been willing to believe him for. I like it the way Jesus said when Mary came with that alabaster box full of the spikes of nard, and in one glorious, sweet, wholehearted moment just broke it all over him. You know what he said? She hath done what she could. He don't expect you to do any more than what you can. But he will expect you to do what you can.
And if you want the best, and God help you if you don't want the best, you just need to get awake. This carnal, foolish idea that the church is the bride and all of us are going to go. Nothing in the book even slightly backs it up. Nothing. Jesus will have a bride. And if you want to read it, it says, she hath made herself ready. R-E-A-D-Y. Read. She hath made herself ready. Several of you precious young women here, it has been my pleasure to marry you to the man of your choice. You got ready for that wedding, didn't you? Some of you almost upset your homes getting ready for that wedding. And that's all you could talk about, think about, do, or have any part in. And you marvel that everyone else wasn't as excited about it as you were.